A reading from the Gospel of Matthew. Let us hear what the Spirit is saying to the church. In the time of King Herod, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, wise men came from the east to Jerusalem asking, "Where is the child that is born King of the Jews? For we observed his star at its rising and have come to pay him homage." When King Herod heard this, he was frightened, and all Jerusalem with him. And calling together all the chief priests and scribes of the people, he inquired of them where the Messiah was to be born. They told him, "In Bethlehem of Judea, for so it has been written by the prophet, 'And you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah, for from you shall come a ruler who is to shepherd my people Israel.'" Then Herod secretly called for the wise men and learned from them the exact time when the star had appeared. Then he sent them to Bethlehem, saying, "Go and search diligently for the child, and when you have found him, bring me word so that I may also go and pay him homage." When they had heard the king, they set out, and there ahead of them went the star that they had seen at its rising, until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw that the star had stopped, they were overwhelmed with joy. On entering the house, they saw the child with Mary, his mother, and they knelt down and paid him homage. Then, opening their treasure chests, they offered him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to return to Herod, they left for their own country by another road. God's word is life. Thanks be to
God. Yesterday morning, I wondered what on earth is there to say this morning in light of Friday's disturbing news. Of course, the news is always disturbing. But somehow the massive raging fires in Australia with no end in sight, and the next unbelievable Trumpian move that puts so much life at risk. What to say this morning to us who proclaim hope for the world, who come looking for hope? What to say that isn't pretending these things aren't happening right now? What to say that bears these things not only in mind, but in our hearts also? What to say? Little did I know from last Sunday that the black angel, do you remember the black angel? The one who is called upon to speak the words of joy, for Pete's sake, so that the pageant can go on when the one whose role it is isn't able to. Little did I know she'd be called upon so soon. Remember the black angel. I heard myself saying that now and again through last week. I must remember the black angel, thinking of some future time, not knowing that the future is now, today. Good news of great joy for all people, a Savior born for us. Well, if that's so, then what's with all the chaos and the violence? That's how the argument often goes, even in my own mind. If love is more powerful yet, where is it now? Where is God when the drama turns ugly? Well, sometimes it actually helps to come back to the Bible, to the stories that we have, the stories that we belong to. Even this morning's story, maybe even especially this morning's story. You heard how it begins. In the time of King Herod, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem, You see, there it is. Jesus arrives into a world inhabited by cruel and unusual people. People who, because of whatever has happened along the way, are possessed, driven by hurt, by anger or shame, fear. King Herod, it turns out, is just such a person. And we get a sense of that right there in today's portion of the story. When the Magi arrive wondering, where do we find the newborn king of the Jews? For we have come to honor him. Herod is frightened, and all Jerusalem with him, we're told. How does a whole entire city suddenly become frightened? Perhaps because they know the man. Knowing that you don't pose a threat to his ego, his status, his hold on power, without massive overreaction, without untold suffering. In his efforts to protect the illusion of himself, his place, his privilege, he keeps a tight hold, so tight his constricting pressure squeezes his fear out into the world and it descends on it like sludge. And it is into this world, in the very midst of these sinister energies, that Jesus is born. So there goes the argument that insists there can't possibly be a God of love if there is such suffering in the world. Jesus is born into a sin-sick world. Into such a world, God comes. It turns out that while these sinister forces are real and devastating, that isn't all there is. There are these wise men from the East, astrologers, some translations say, Zoroastrians from Persia, Iran, so the story goes, who from a long way off saw a star and knew somehow, in that way of knowing, that it was significant. They couldn't let it go, or it wouldn't let them go. So compelled were they that they dropped everything to follow it. By the time they arrive in Jerusalem, which is where we meet them in the story, their journey has taken them many miles, maybe even 2 years. We can imagine that there were nights along the way when the star was veiled by clouds. We can imagine that there were days when doubts and difficulties, misgivings and weariness dampened their spirits, weakened their commitment. But they kept going without really knowing their destination and who exactly they would find there or what would become of them, what this would mean for the sake of their lives. Which is the way it sometimes goes. How we are drawn on without knowing. And yet we give ourselves to the mystery because, well, that just seems to be what is being asked of us. It's no wonder this star became for them more like a magnet than merely a sign, for it was love that met them there in the Jesus child. It's no wonder they were so compelled. Love does that, even and especially love amidst Herod's madness. For is it not staggering that in response to the human wickedness that brings about so much chaos and suffering, God comes not with guns blazing to annihilate the enemy, but with love? Not some saccharine, sentimental feeling that has no gall or guts, but the way someone would go to the wall for love of you, for the love of strangers. Or the way someone chooses to expend their energy, their time, their money with no guarantee of success or payback. or the way someone risks looking foolish or naive or unprincipled by standing in solidarity, standing up for life. Or the way someone persists in giving their all to a cause in the face of resistance or threat, knowing the fruits of their labor might never be recognized, not in their lifetime. Or the way someone is bold enough to challenge another to be more honest about themselves, more truthful about their need or their shadow. Or the way someone becomes a channel of unimagined forgiveness, setting another free to begin again. You can see it, can't you, in any and all of these ways of love, the way of Jesus. This is the love that takes flesh in Jesus, in Herod's time. This is the love God pours into our hearts, even now amidst our own mad time. What does it mean to step out in the dark hour of this time, with all the witness we have to Jesus' life, his love? For the Magi, there was a decision to be made. Having been warned in a dream not to go back the way of Herod to inform him of the child's whereabouts, but to go home by another way, what would they do? Would they heed this intangible warning? Was it really real? Or would they do what they were told by Herod, who helped them out after all, and who by his authority they ought to respect? For the Magi, there was a decision to be made, as there is for us. It's one thing to affirm that in Jesus, love has been born into our world in a new way, here to stay. But so what? What do we do with that? What does it mean for us? How will it play in us? Do we dismiss it? Do we reject it, this love? Do we embrace it, receive it? Do we protect it, nurture it, live in the light of it? Do we let ourselves be moved by it, taken by it into places that we don't really know? Become a means for this love to spread, to transform us and the world around us? For the Magi, there was a decision to be made, as there is for us. And of course, it's not a once and for all decision. It's a moment by moment, encounter by encounter decision. And not just a decision. Because what we're talking about is realizing the companionship of Christ. For his presence knows no bounds, since this love has burst the grave. So indeed, there is good news of great joy for all people. God in Christ has come to stay, to dwell among us, to abide within us, to be for us. Love is with us. This love that has burst the grave. We have a decision, moment by moment, encounter by encounter. Love is with us. Thanks be to God. Amen. Before we move into our next hymn, let's just sit quietly for a few minutes.